We come tonight to look at Isaiah chapter 61 and say verse 10. It says these words, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Let's again come to the Lord in prayer as we come to his word this evening. Our Father, we do thank thee again for the sense of thy presence. And we come, our Father, to thank thee for thy precious word. We come, our Father, to pray that your blessing will be upon the preaching of it. Pray, Father, indeed, O God, it may go forth in mighty power. We pray for the help of God, the Holy Spirit. We ask, our Father, tonight, O God, that it will be an encouragement and a help to those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But for those, O God, tonight still yet in their sins, we pray that this will be the very night when they turn from their sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That indeed, our Father, tonight, that they'll be wonderfully saved and be able to go home with great joy in their hearts this evening. Thank you for your help given to our brother Sam. Bless the words of song as well and continue to speak unto hearts tonight. And use them, dear God, to thine honor and to thy glory. And we pray it all in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Without a shadow of doubt, the greater majority of people in the world in the present day, they want joy in their heart and soul. And they want it to be something that they experience on a regular basis. See, this is something that people crave for as they face the struggles of life. And I'm sure tonight that if we were to go around the congregation here and ask each and every one of us, well, what is one of the things we want in life? We would say, well, we would like to have joy in our heart and soul. Say, this evening, this is what many people crave for. But not only is it something that people crave for, it's something that they strive for as they go through the routine of life and as they go through the routine of work and work and more work. And then they have the odd holiday thrown somewhere in between to try and to refresh them and to change the way that they do things for a week or two. Joy is what people also pray for, as well as for many people in the world, the only time that they ever come to God in prayer is whenever circumstances take a turn for the worse in their lives. Maybe they've never prayed for months. Maybe they've never prayed for years, but when circumstances take a change for the worse, it's then that they come and they pray to God. And the reason they pray is because they want the pain to go away. And what they want is the pain to be replaced with joy in their heart, because we know that there are a few things, if anything, that beats joy in the heart and soul on a day-to-day basis. Joy in the heart and soul, how it is something that many people, if not everybody in the world, wants. But yet we're living in a day when joy seems to be something that is hard to come by in the present day, especially if you listen to the news. Recent days we've been hearing so much about swine flu. Recent days we've been hearing so much in the news about recession. And in recent days we've been hearing so much about the MP expenses scandal. See, there seems to be so many things in the news that would only, if you listen to them day after day, they would do nothing but get you down. But at least in the present day, the weather forecasters have good news for us, because what they're talking about is a barbecue summer. I don't know if you've heard that on the news recently, but some of them have been saying we're going to have a barbecue summer. But what that usually means is it's going to rain month after month, and we're not going to see a lot of good weather. But hopefully, after the past week and all the good weather we've experienced, we'll see much more of it over these summer months. The reason I say this evening is because the prophet Isaiah, he tells us here in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10 that he is going to rejoice. He tells us that he's going to rejoice in someone. It's not often you meet somebody and they say that they're going to rejoice, that they're going to be filled with joy. Normally, whenever you talk to people, you say to them, well, how are you? And normally, well, you get a response, I'm okay. But generally, that means, well, they're not feeling great. But here in Isaiah chapter 61, in the first part of the verse, what we see is Isaiah saying that he is going to greatly rejoice, and he's going to greatly rejoice in someone. In the first part of the verse, he says these words, he says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. I sense that in reading this, to say he's going to explode with great rejoicing in Almighty God. He makes it very clear here in these opening words of this verse that this is who he is going to rejoice in. He states it not once, but he states it twice as he says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Surely whenever we think about this, nobody would rejoice in God. Isn't that what many people in the present day say about God? Whenever we talk about God, how this is the last thought that goes through many people's minds, and maybe it's your thought tonight. And maybe as we look at this, this sounds almost ludicrous to you. You're saying tonight in your own mind, how could anybody rejoice in God? And many people, their understanding of God in the present day is that he's a killjoy. Many people, their understanding of God in the present day is that he's a party pooper as far as they are concerned. He's someone who is going to strike us down with something terrible whenever we do something terrible in life. They see God as being somebody who likes, as it were, maybe the kids, the children, the young people even, maybe won't understand what we're talking about, but maybe I'm giving away my age, but I can remember the days when the leather belt was used. And that's how they understand God. Whenever you disobey God, God, as it were, he's going to use the leather belt. He's going to use the wooden spoon every time somebody oversteps the mark quite considerably. What a wrong and distorted understanding people have of God. How Satan has been busy in blinding people to the truth. And can I say tonight, if that's your understanding of God, I believe you've been blinded to the truth of God. You see, what we see in the Word of God is that because of his mercies, we are not consumed. If tonight that was the kind of God that we have, well, then we need to understand tonight, not one of us would be here, because all that every single one of us deserve is to be in a lost eternity in hell because of our sin. Romans 3:23, it states it so clearly. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And tonight, therefore, we're not even deserving of the least of God's mercies. And yet tonight, are we not a people who are in this world and a people who have not been sent out into a lost eternity? He's a merciful God. And for this reason, Isaiah could rejoice greatly in God, for he goes on to state why he could do this. He could rejoice greatly in the Lord. Can I suggest, first of all, because of his clothing? He says these words in this verse this evening. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. So we see here the first reason as to why Isaiah was going to rejoice in the Lord is because of the clothing he had received. It's that time of the year whenever maybe I'm going to get myself in trouble here this evening, but it's that time of the year when the ladies, they start to produce their summer outfits. With the warmer weather here, many of the ladies, hopefully you'll not sort of knock me down at the door on the way out, but they like to produce a new outfit, or two, or three, or four. And they like to be able to wear them, while for us men, we have to continue to wear the same old suit that we've been wearing throughout maybe the last year or two. How the ladies, they just love to wear their new outfits. They love to be able to get them out and for people to see them and to admire them. But to ladies tonight, can I say that whenever it comes to clothing, I trust tonight that you are wearing the same clothes as Isaiah did almost 3,000 years ago. And if you are, don't let anybody tell you tonight that what you're wearing in this world, which is so filled with sin and with wickedness, that your clothes are out of date. That's what we're being told in the present day. If you're wearing the same clothes as what Isaiah wore, that if you're wearing them in this day and age, you're out of date, you're out of fashion, you need to get rid of them, you need to get into the present day climate. Trust all of us men as well are wearing the same clothes as Isaiah was able to say that he was wearing. For there are no greater clothes to be worn by anybody, for he was able to say that he was clothed with the garments of salvation. That's what he says here in Isaiah 61 and 10. He says, "For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation." What a way to be clothed tonight. How beautiful was the outfit that he wore at all times, for he was, say, covered with these clothes of, or these garments of salvation. What exactly these were, we are not told. But can I suggest to you tonight that these would have been forgiveness of sin? These garments of salvation would have been redemption. They would have been reconciliation. They would have been regeneration. In other words, all those things which meant that he was saved from an awful eternity in that awful place called hell. You see, this is what salvation is. Salvation means to be saved from danger. Salvation means to be rescued from danger, and how this is what the world needs tonight. This is what you need tonight, if never have you been saved. For the Bible states that all are born in sin, destined for hell's torments, and what they need more than anything else in this world is a Savior. At the close of a service, I think it was many years ago, a stranger came up to the minister of the church, a man by the name of D.M. Stearns. He came up to D.M. Stearns and he said to him these words. He says, "I don't like the way that you spoke about the cross. I think that instead of emphasizing the death of Christ, it would be far better to preach Jesus, the teacher and example." D.M. Stearns, he thought about it for a moment and he said to the man, he said to him these words, he said, "If I presented Christ then in that way, would you be willing to follow him?" The man, he looked at him, he says, "I certainly would." "All right then," said D.M. Stearns, he says, "let's take the first step. He did no sin, can you claim that for yourself?" The man, he looked confused and somewhat surprised, and he said to him, he says, "Why no?" He says, "I acknowledge that I sin every day." "Well then," said Stearns, he says, "your greatest need is to have a Savior, not an example." Can I say to you tonight that if you're not saved, your greatest need is to have a Savior? Oh, tonight you might want us to preach Jesus Christ, the teacher, Jesus Christ, the example. What a blessing it is to teach those. What a challenge all this is to those of us who are saved. But tonight, if you're not yet saved, understand that what you need most is Jesus Christ as your Savior. In other words, what you need, or putting it another way, what you need is a new wardrobe. Especially when we look at the context of what Isaiah says here, that he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. You don't need an outfit or outfits from Marks and Sparks or Debenhams or Harrods or Dunns or, sorry, it should be Dunays, I think as some of them pronounce it, to try and make it that little bit more upper class. It's not from these that you need an outfit. What you need tonight is heaven's outfit, which is the garments of salvation. For until you're forgiven of sin, until you're redeemed by the precious shed blood of the Lamb, until you are reconciled to a holy God, until you are regenerated by the Spirit of God, that is, receive new life as God comes into your life to live within you, then you need to understand it's only when all of this happens that it will be heaven for you when you depart from the scene of time.
Oh, tonight, can I ask you, have you received heaven's new wardrobe? Isaiah was able to say, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Can I ask you tonight, what are you wearing? We were asking with the boys and girls this morning, the question was, do you love Jesus? The question tonight is, what are you wearing? Are you wearing the garments of salvation, or is it tonight that you're wearing the garments of sin? Or tonight you have never come by faith to the foot of the old rugged cross. You have never come to the foot of the old rugged cross and acknowledged that you're a sinner. Acknowledge that you're a sinner who deserves to be sent out into a lost eternity in hell. But you see that Jesus, and that you see that Jesus Christ is the one who died in your place upon the cross. He's the one who paid the price in full so that you could be saved when you put your trust in Him. If tonight you have never done that, understand tonight that you're not saved. Understand tonight that you are on the broad road that has taken you out into a lost eternity in hell. And tonight what you need is salvation. Tonight what you need is the Savior Jesus Christ, for He's the only Savior for sinners. Isaiah said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He'll be joyful because of His clothing. But I want you to note secondly with me tonight that he would be joyful also because of his covering. His covering, he says these words, he says at the end, or goes on in the verse, he says, He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. How beautiful this is whenever we think of it. Isaiah not only wore the garments of salvation, but he was also covered with the robe of righteousness. When a person gets saved, what is this robe of righteousness that they're covered with? Well, I believe the answer is very simple. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Whenever a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, something most amazing happens. Many, many amazing things happen whenever a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of them is this, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the one who was holy and perfectly righteous. The Bible tells us in Him there was no sin, and He knew no sin. His righteousness covers us. Now you may be saying, well, what effect does that have in my life? What it does is this, it means that whenever God looks on us, what He sees is not our sin. Our sin which is separating us from God, our sin which has separated us from God, but what He sees is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Which means then that we're in a right relationship with God, that we're accepted by Him. And we belong to Him for time and for eternity. What we must understand about our sin and our lives whenever it's not forgiven is that it separates us from God. It has us on the broad road leading to an unending eternity in hell and in the lake of fire. But when we come to God, confessing all of our sin, asking Him to forgive us, He not only forgives us there and then, but He covers us with the robe of righteousness, which means that from that day on, that whenever He looks upon us, He never sees any sin which would want Him to send us out from His presence. Unsaved, how I pray tonight that you see how beautiful the Lord can make you. I trust tonight that you can see how filthy, how rotten you are in your sin. But see what Jesus Christ can do in your life if you come and put your trust in Him. See tonight what He can cover you with. See tonight what He can do with your sin. He can cover it forever so that you are accepted by God and that you will always be accepted by Him. Maybe you're somebody tonight and you're saying, I would love to get saved, but whenever I think of my sin and all the sin that I've committed down through the years, there's no way that God would want me to be one of His children. Understand tonight, He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. First John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that's the great news tonight for those who are still not saved, for those who feel that there's been so much sin in their lives that God wouldn't want them to be saved tonight. Understand, whenever you come to Him, and if you come to Him tonight, He covers all of your sin. It's covered with the robe of righteousness, and therefore He will never see your sin again. And that's why you can be saved tonight. You see, salvation is not to do with what you can do. Salvation is all because of what Jesus Christ has done at the cross of Calvary and what He will do with your life when you come and put your trust in Him. Tonight, come to Him, come by faith to the foot of the old rugged cross and say, Lord Jesus, I recognize tonight that I'm a sinner. I recognize tonight that all I'm deserving of is a lost eternity in hell, but thank You for dying. Thank You for dying on the cross for me, and tonight I come and I repent of my sin. I come and I ask You to save me. Oh, tonight a wonderful transformation will happen in your life. You might not see it all, indeed you won't see it, but between you and God, there you'll be covered with the robe of righteousness. And you'll be His for time and for all of eternity. I wonder tonight, is this something that perhaps a saved person needs to hear? You know that you sin against God every day. You're wondering how this leaves you, and you're standing before God. While it's not a license to sin as you please, understand the robe of Jesus Christ. It covers you tonight and it keeps you in a right relationship with Almighty God. Maybe you're a young believer tonight and you're saying to yourself, I sin against God every day. And isn't that when Satan comes along and he says, well, you're no good as a child of God. You're letting Him down. Are you sure that you're still a child of God? Understand tonight that you are. Say, it's not a license to sin against God every day, but how wonderful to know that whenever we sin against God, He doesn't throw us out. Doesn't throw us on the scrap heap. 1 John 2 and verse 1 is a very precious verse. Says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We ask the question, what is an advocate? An advocate is one who represents another person. It's like a lawyer, one who pleads another person's case. And whenever Satan tries to accuse us of our sin, there at the right hand of the Father is Jesus Christ. And what is he doing? He's pleading our case. He's pleading our case. Satan wants us to look at our sin and he wants us to get us discouraged. He wants us to go around thinking maybe no longer are we in the family of God, but understand at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ is saying to the Father, look at my righteousness. For it is my righteousness that is covering him and her tonight. And that's what God the Father sees. And therefore we don't have to go round in life wondering tonight, do I belong to God? Says no license to go out and sin as we please, because if we do, God will chastise us. God will discipline us, but we can go out with the encouragement that even whenever we let God down, because in the Paul who said, I do those things that I ought not to do, and I don't do those things that I ought to do. He sinned against God every day, but yet he was covered with the robe of righteousness and able to go on in his service for the Lord. We see here, concerning Isaiah, we see his clothing, we see his covering, and then we see thirdly, finally, time's almost gone, we see his comparison. In the verse he says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Then notice these words. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. I think there are many miracles done on a wedding day. Why do I say this? Well, never do you hear anybody talking about an ugly bride. They're all beautiful, so we're told. You hear somebody be saying, well, you were at the wedding the other day. How did the bride look? Isn't that whenever we hear people saying, oh, she looked beautiful? Sometimes I've seen some of them a few days beforehand and they're stressed to the hills and they don't look anything like anything beautiful. But yet, what we see here is whenever we come to look at this, Isaiah is saying, when it comes to the wedding day, the bride and the groom, they look absolutely beautiful. He says here this, in these words, he says, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. What Isaiah is saying here is saying is that on the wedding day, they look absolutely beautiful. And so true it is. Isn't it lovely that whenever we trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, whenever we put on the garments of salvation, we're covered with the robe of righteousness, that what we are before God is absolutely beautiful. We're like the bride, comes down the aisle, in all of her beauty. And the groom who's standing in front in all his lovely outfit and indeed in beauty as well. Say, never do you ever hear anybody say on the wedding day they look terrible. And that's how it is between us and God. Whenever we put our trust in Him, He looks upon us and He sees us as someone beautiful. Someone who's in a right relationship with Him. And somebody that one day He'll be able to welcome right into His very presence. And there we'll be with Him for all of eternity. Unsaved tonight, why remain in your sin? Why remain in your filthiness? In your life of sin, in the gutters of sin, when tonight Jesus Christ can transform your life. He went to the cross of Calvary to bear the punishment for your sin. And tonight what He wants to do is to transform your life. He wants tonight that you have joy in your heart. Is it not that there are many people in the world tonight and they've tried the ways of the world. They're trying all the sinful paths of mankind. But tonight their hearts are broken. Tonight they're greatly discouraged. Many, sadly, on the verge of suicide. You know, see tonight, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He can transform your life. And tonight, if you come to Him, come before you even go home from this very place tonight, put your trust in Him, you'll be able to say, I greatly rejoice. And my Lord and my soul shall be glad in my God. Oh, tonight He wants to save you. He wants to make you into a wonderful trophy of grace. That tonight that you go home a brand new person. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's what He wants to do with you tonight. Will you not come? Put your trust in Him. Go home tonight with the garments of salvation, with the robe of righteousness, knowing that you're beautiful as a bride and a groom, and that God accepts you